Well, we're back. L. Andrew Warner is with us today with another Destination Canada. Good morning, and thank you for joining Talking Travel today.
Good morning, and I'm glad to be here.
I'm a little tongue-tied this morning, so you have to bear with me. I'm kind of stumbling over my words. Your article and subject on this segment is Fishing in Northwestern Ontario, The Perfect Life, and what a great story it is.
Thank you.
You know, you start off by saying, first of all, I thought the quote was interesting. If politicians fished, it would be better for everyone. And I think, let's start with that.
And that is so true. I mean, when you're out on the lake, it's an equalizer. You're there, you're fishing. Whether you catch one or not is dependent on the fish, not on you.
You can say that again, because every fisherman, we have a lot of fishermen in Florida, and they bear you out on that note.
But, you know, but you're out there, you're relaxed, you're, you know, the pressures, the who you have to be, the layers of what society puts on you kind of disappear, and it's just you and nature and enjoying the water, enjoying the sunshine, enjoying that whole experience.
And I might take this opportunity to mention that to find some specific locations in this story, you can visit the Canadian Geographic Online Canadian Atlas. Now, would that be .com or?
I believe that would be, I'm not sure if it's .com or .ca. If you just put Canadian Geographic, it'll pop it up.
Oh, okay, great. And there's some great photos in the article. So if you go to our site and click on the article, you can follow it through. And what's really interesting is that interesting not so much only about the article, but when I traveled up there last year to go to the Winter Festival, and I think I mentioned this to you the last time we were on, that I almost accidentally got on to the flight to Thunder Bay. Because it was right next to the same gate or the same entranceway for Quebec City. And now as I read this, although we had a wonderful time at the Winter Festival, I'm almost wondering if I shouldn't have gotten on that Thunder Bay flight.
Oh, you would have enjoyed it. There's you can experience everything from culinary tastes, having pierogies and Finnish pancakes, to just sitting on one of the thousands of lakes that's only half an hour from town.
Well, let's go on with your story, and you talk about Ken's last name pronounced Boshkov. Is that the
Boshkov? Boshkov is
right.
Correct.
And so that he goes with a group of friends on his annual fishing trip to what you call secret fishing holes in Northwest Ontario. Why don't we go with that?
Well, you know, I think just about anybody that fishes here in Northwest Ontario, and that's the majority of people.
Yep.
They all have secret places where they don't want to tell you where they catch the pickerel or the biggest brook trout or speckled trout.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and they go every year. It's the fishing season starts in Ontario on the long weekend in May, and everybody gears up for that, and they're gone.
And what the amazing thing is that to some of these places, or maybe most of them, you can go by air on a float plane.
You know, and that adds to that whole exciting experience. I mean, we read about bush planes, that whole rugged romance about bush flying. Well, you can do that in a Beaver and a Cessna, and you're flying over these miles and miles and miles of forest.
Right.
And maybe not even seeing anything at all that looks like civilization. And then you land, and you're on this wonderful lake, and then they pick you up again, and there's just something about that roar of that plane, or when that float plane hits the water. It all adds to that whole experience.
It is an amazing experience. A friend of mine flies the Twin Otter for a company that he actually has the best of both worlds. He's down in the Virgin Islands during the winter months, and then he flies up where you are, or at least in I don't know if it's in that area or in the Alaska area. He flies in the summer months, and I hadn't had a lot of experience on float planes, and I went up with him a couple of times, and it's a very exhilarating and a really wonderful experience. And as you say, flying over some of the territory is just an awe-inspiring experience.
It really is. You see it from a whole different perspective than if you drive. You're seeing a grand look at everything. You're seeing the lakes. You're seeing positioning of the rocks and mountains, if there are mountains in the area. And it really is an eye-opener. I mean, people can do that just going out and take a couple hours and go flying in a bush plane, they'll get that same experience of just that feel of it, just to see the world.
Now tell us about some of the fish.
Well, my favorite is pickerel, and I think Americans call it walleye, but it's the same fish. That has an amazing taste, and it's very difficult to buy other than in an area where you can
where you catch them.
I like splake, which is a wonderful fish that I believe you can find it in Maine as well, and in some of the northern American states and in northern Canada. And just done over a shore lunch, just put a little bit of flour on or put a little bit of butter on the pan and just flip it with some potatoes. It's delicious.
And you say in northwestern Ontario there's plenty of room for all and all types of fishing and catch-and-release fly fishing as well. What's interesting is you talk about whether you want to walk in and wade or you just fish from the shoreline. It's all there.
It's, you know, when I was growing up here, and it was Port Arthur at the time, my father would go out to after work, half an hour, be back, and he'd have two beautiful speckled trout.
Yeah,
so that
great.
Would all be within driving and fishing and coming back before it was dark. And you can wade in, you can put on those waders and wade in, you can do the fly fishing where you do catch and release. And I guess the majority of the people here do have a boat, and they go boat fishing, so you're sitting in a boat
right.
for a couple of hours and casting.
Right.
Very relaxing.
Now, you call it one of the new frontiers. Explain that, if you will.
Well, this has been traditionally a very a fishing area, but people fish to eat. They don't fish to let it go.
Right.
So the whole idea of catch and release fly fishing, of course, is more the sport of casting and using making the lures that look like little bugs and things,
right.
and putting the fish back in the water.
Right.
Whereas this is traditionally a very working area where people fish to eat. They
right.
don't
it was
put it back in
or survive.
Yeah, and so this is just starting now where people are actually looking at going fly fishing,
right.
though I'd still say the majority are the ones that go and they keep the fish.
Right. Now, I mean, that's basically what they do. They do a lot of catch and release here in the Gulf and in the bays in southern Florida. You say that, and this is interesting, that fly fishing is an ancient sport dating back to the time of the Romans and classical Macedonians over 2,000 years ago.
Yes, when I was doing the research, it was really quite amazing to see. It's not something new, though for us in northwestern Ontario it's a bit new, but this has been done for such a long time, and where people were fly fishing for that reason. And it was surprising to see that it was in the 50, just around 1500, 1496, that it was a woman that wrote the first book on fly fishing.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing. Her name was what? Dame Juliana
Berners.
Berners, yeah.
And I thought that was really, it was a complete reference book, work on fly fishing, and I believe there's a link to it on the article.
Now,
and
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying it's the first how-to fishing manual. Great.
And pronounce the. I was looking at the spelling, the usage of the English words in the name of her manual. Can you pronounce that for us?
The way I got it was treats of fishing with an angle.
Right, and that's kind of that's kind of the way I got it as well.
It's in the Old English, so if you
right.
and it's kind of fun to try to read it. If you pronounce it, then it kind of comes out. If you
right.
say it out loud,
right.
it kind of fits in.
I had to play with it a bit for the last day or so as well. and she did that in 1496, as you say.
1496, just amazing. It is on the online. You can find it on the internet, and
right.
they do have pictures as well. Of, I guess that she drew to go along with the manual. It's quite fascinating.
Right, and what is also fascinating is the world record is held for the brook trout.
Yeah, that was Dr. John William Cook from Fort William at the time, and he used a live minnow on
right.
Nipigon River, and the record still holds at 14 pounds 8 ounces.
That's a heck of a size
yep.
for a trout.
And it still holds. And in fact, in 1987, the American publication to do with fishing named the Nipigon River the finest trout stream in the world. So I guess this is quite an area to fish. It still does bring big fish when people do catch them, but it has not matched that 14 pounds, 8 ounces caught in 1915.
Amazing. Now, you go on to say the other drawer is solitude, and you say that there is so much room here for anglers to be on their own, and that the parties of 8 fly anglers who spent 6 days there without encountering other anglers. That's quite amazing.
You know, when you go to any of these lakes, and so many will just drive out from here, or when you go to a remote lake, they're just, you can be there all day and not see anyone at all. You really feel like you're the only person, you're the only person in the world.
Now, tell us about a fly-in holiday. You mentioned one with these rustic cabins. And
it's quite a different experience than going to somewhere where there's a lodge that provides for your meals. It's sort of like a wilderness hotel. You fly in, and it's a cabin that's very basic. It's got bunk beds. You bring your own sleeping bag. And you have propane stove and fridge. And there's no cell phones, because there's no cell phone service in much of northern Canada and northwestern Ontario. And you're on your own. And it's wilderness survival, but without the real risk of wilderness danger. And you have this cabin you sleep in, you go out, you've got the boat there, they have the boat ready for you with gas, and away you go. And really, the whole weekend is just spent just fishing.
Sounds like a nice way to spend some time. You also mentioned, and I was just looking for it here, the traditional lunch.
Ah, yes, yes. If you haven't had a shore lunch on a Canadian rock on a beautiful sunny day, you haven't lived yet.
How wonderful.
It is amazing. The fish tastes better, the food tastes better, and even if you don't like baked beans, you know, when you're sitting on that rock, the beans taste wonderful.
And fresh pickerel right in in the pan and an open fire.
Oh, yes, yes, and you just look out, it's quiet, the water is there, the trees are there, and it is really quite an amazing, it's magical almost.
And for more information for our listeners, there are quite a number of links that Elle has on at the end of her article, so if you go to ttrn.com, click on Destination Canada, go to her article, and it's all there, so you could be the next one to maybe have one of those wonderful pickerel lunches.
Ah, I recommend it.
Elle, thanks very much. Always a pleasure. Hope we'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon. Bye
Take
for,
care.
Bye for
Thank
now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.